Thank you. I really do appreciate that time and your friendship always. So thank you for that. That's really a great way to start the class. I don't need to pray. We'll just go into the word, but thank y'all for your prayers. And I feel fine. I walk in. It's weird when the doctor's looking at the x-ray and he's looking at you going, I mean, you feel okay? I was. So it's gonna be good. I feel fine. But, meanwhile, we've been, of course, many of y'all have asked and been so sweet to reach out to my mom, who was in the hospital in August. She was, for those who don't know her, she's been in the church since she wasn't original. She and my dad were not original Briarwood, but very, very close. So many, many, many years, and was in our class for years, still considers herself in our class. And she's 94 years old and, still super sharp. And so she had in August, she had some medical conditions, and what really ended up being a big problem was a blood clot in an artery in her stomach, in her intestines, and it was super painful. She was in the hospital, and one of the doctors came in and said, okay, we've identified the blood clot. We can get it. It's basically with an arteriogram. This guy was called an interventional radiologist, which I did not know that was a thing. But he goes, you got to love a doctor like this. He goes, I wouldn't let just anybody do this, but I would let me do this. Pretty cocky. I like it. And so, he said, I can get it. And so, he went in, and he did get it. And so she's doing well. She's at home recovering. It's a long recovery. She's at home health care in our class has helped with that. And it's really helped her a lot moving around. She's sharp. So she's doing great. Junior and I get to talk to her some, but I told y'all this, mentioned it, but I thought about it again this week. When she was headed back to have this interventional radiology, you know, anytime you're that age, it's not an operation. She was calling it her surgery. Y'all, I had surgery this week, but this procedure, you know, again, the nurse or technician was telling us that when we were getting her ready for this, she was reciting scripture. And the nurse said, I said to your mom, are you preaching to us? And she said, I'm preaching to myself. And I thought I love that. That's just encouraging to me to be that kind of person. Of course, then with this thing in my lung, I had one of those, like a procedure to biopsy what it is. And so they said it was going to be twilight. Fortunately, I remember zero. Thank you, Lord. So they put me out to do that. And then when I'm coming out of that, I can feel them moving me. I'm coming out of the procedure. And while they did it, they said, we're also going to wash your lung. And Judy was like, isn't that also drowning? Waterboarding. Perfect. Internal waterboarding. So as I came out of the, you know, the anesthesia and a big roll, I'm now coming to and I'm coughing. And I can feel, you know, I'm coughing, and I said, I'm going to have to stop vaping. I can hear myself say it. What's the comedy routine? Like, what? And this guy goes, did he say vaping? And like, they're probably going, he never said vaping when we were interviewing. Oh, what? So the word of God, my mother. So we're going to talk about one of those things today. Spoiler alert, it's not vaping. So these few weeks that I'm teaching around the topic of standing firm, and perseverance in the faith. And it, all of us are trying to do it. You know, we want to do it. And it's a, it's timely, whether you're 20 years old trying to stand firm, 40, whatever ages we are. I can't see y'all, so I can't tell. But it's timely at any point. And we've been talking about that, and a reminder, because we know the difficulties. We could, everybody in here could, we could make a list of what the actual difficulties, but I thought the summary, and I read this last week, but a reminder of what Stuart Briscoe said, as the hard business of living takes its toll, it is the spiritual dimension of life that often wears out first. Doubts, disappointments, injustices, and abuses accumulate over the years. That's really true. We may even begin to question God's goodness. Is that true? And then resent his inaction and turn away from his presence, losing all sense of grace and purpose for our lives. It is too often the lot of those who are aging, but it is emphatically not what God intended. So as we work on standing firm, that's the environment that we're in. That's the battleground that we're facing. So, we're going to talk about a specific way to do that, a specific verse that we're going to address. But, again, kind of setting the stage, some things that we face. I think this might have been a C.S. Lewis that said, may actually be Screwtape, but he was talking about young man's temptation is to desire, old man's temptation is to despair, which is a very bleak thing to hear. But I kind of get it from that perspective, from the accumulation of regrets. And so as we kind of think about that, this is not an old man that I'm going to quote next, but it's John Haynes. He's right back there, and y'all all see him, and there's not a livelier human in the land, so it's not that, but he was relaying to me, this just was so perfect for this. I asked him if I could talk about it. He was talking about dealing with a situation, like many of us do, like he was, in, his was in a pastoral role, but a situation, he was praying for God to make it right, you know, make the situation right. And when God didn't do it, didn't make it right like we want, he recounted what David said in Psalm 42. God, why have you forgotten me? Ever been there? Ever said, why have you forgotten me? John said the idea in his mind was, there was a voice coming in saying, where is your God now, John Haynes? And I thought that, that just rang true and real. And he said the assaults of life can lead us to this despairing place. So I thank him for sharing that. And there's a, I'm not going to leave him there. Later in the lesson, we'll talk about, how he encouraged me out of that. But it encouraged me to hear that, you know, cause we're, every one of us in here, we come in, try to put best foot forward, and we do, and we smile, and we should. But we've got things that lead to despair. So while looking at standing firm, let's open to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16. Now this little area, 1 Corinthians, the end of 15 and then 16, within that there's two verses about standing firm where they use the term. In your Bible, it may say steadfast. It's the same word, to be steadfast, standing firm. So my plan is next week to cover a good bit of 1 Corinthians 16 in kind of a more detailed way. But today, just the verse 16:13, which in NIV says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Yeah, that's verse 14. So 13 and 14. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. So from that, it struck me that flowing, so the results of standing firm are just, there's a few listed there and they're very, very important to be alert, to be courageous, to be strong. And then I like that it added do everything in love. So it's not just a militaristic, stoic, just being strong. It's, and doing everything in love, like reaching out to other people. All of that flows from this idea of standing firm. And I think, again, we're going to focus on just these two verses, but the idea of where standing firm in the faith. So it's not just, again, just standing firm. I'm immovable. I'm a stoic person. It's very specific, the standing firm in the faith. So, and remember, and I think that's interesting, not in faith, standing firm, not just in faith, it's in the faith. So I thought of, you know, Paul at the end of his life said, I've kept the faith, which to me is a particular use of what all is embodied in the faith. It would be another way of us kind of saying, you know, all of our beliefs, the gospel. So keep that in mind. I think that's what I want to really talk about, is how to keep the faith, a very specific thing. So what does the Bible say about faith in general? We know that Hebrews 11:1, that faith is being sure, in my version, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. I'm going to use a silly example that I heard in a sermon and I can't forget it. So I guess that's a good thing. Although it's kind of silly, but this guy said, I have always hoped to fly without equipment. I hoped I could just fly, and I'm certain I can do it. I'm certain if I jump off this church, I can fly.
For a little bit.
Yeah, and he's right, just for a little bit. But of course can't do that. And so his point was, you can't, it's not faith in faith. What is our faith in? And you have to connect it back to Romans 10:17 and many other verses, but that one. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. That's just what we're talking about today, standing firm in the word of God, which this class is, we love it because this class loves the word of God, and we know to teach it. And if we ever try to do a lighthearted topic in here, we hear about it because this group loves to hear the word of God taught. So I'm literally preaching to the choir, John Haynes, but a good reminder about the word of God. And I'm going to go back to John with this. So he relayed this at the end of this when he was telling me about this moment of what he called, should I say, the carpet licking?
You'll have to explain what that means.
Why don't you tell us? Why don't you tell us where you came up with that term?
Well, there are several times in my pastoral career that many of you know that, I despaired of life itself. You know, I had got my mind off of my hope in Christ, and that's why the song that we're singing this morning, Psalm 42, Everything You're Saying, I quoted from that psalm, with the exception of carpet licking prayer. And one day at 4 a.m, I was so overwhelmed, and I'm going to tell you what it was, about a prodigal child. And I didn't know where she was. And so for me, I'm looking at that going, she's been raised in a holy home. She has a holy mom and dad. What in the heck has gone wrong here? And so and yet in 2 mornings, I still got to need worship and pretend things are okay. No, And so, kind of like what Tom Hawks preached on last week. And so I was lying prostrate on the floor, begging God to show us where she was and to deliver her. And while I laid on the floor, I could taste those carpet fibers, and I've never forgotten about it. And of course, the Lord had a lot to teach me. He didn't do all that, but that's where I came up with the term when life gets really rough, carpet living prayers. And I will say he was faithful. And what he taught me there is what the choir is doing about this morning. He taught me to want him and to pant after him before I even pant after the resolution to a persecution.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, and didn't come easy.
Right.
She's been the one having to minister.
I get it.
To this sniveling.
Yeah, she and Judy should start a support group. But thank you so much. See how easy it is to teach this class? You just get somebody. That was so right on. I mean, that embodied what the Briscoes are saying about just this accumulated difficulties and all of that. How many people in here, I know a lot of you, and I don't know all of them, are dealing with that with a child. And there's nothing more heartrending, but there's a lot of heartrending things, other ones. So, you're appealing to Psalm 42, and then John, was encouraging a few of his friends, and he said, one of the things he said, do you want Jesus Christ, the King and Judge on the throne, to show up in your situation? He already has. God, the Holy Spirit is in you and speaking the word of Jesus to you. John's immediate appeal to the word of God. That's where we stand firm. We're really standing firm in the word of God. And I'll track that a little bit more. This, I heard a line of reasoning from a sermon that I think is insightful about this. He said, look at the Bible. So the Garden of Eden, the fruit of the tree that brought sin into the world via Adam, there was no evidence it was dangerous. Like just looking at it, it was beautiful. There was no evidence it was dangerous except for the word of God. Abraham and Sarah. There's no evidence they could have a child except for the word of God. Noah, no evidence it would flood, probably not even rain. I don't think they'd even had rain at the time except for the word of God. You could go that with everything in the Bible, Jesus. There's no evidence that someone would rise, defeat death 3 days after crucifixion except for the word of God. And of course, I immediately come, there's no evidence that, fill in the blank, in your life right now. There's something in your life that you're doing. There's no evidence this is ever going to work out right, except for the word of God. And so that's our call is, you know, what, if we don't hear the word of God, we're not going to see evidence about all of those things that can occur. So how are you? Again, with Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing from the word of God. How much are you hearing it? How much am I hearing it? Just enough, you know, just enough, a little devotional something. I mean, there's no right answer to that, but you know it. Are you being exposed enough to the word of God to where when you're on the carpet face down, what comes up is the word, even when it doesn't feel right. We've had so many testimonies in here where people talked about the hardest things in life, and they will be angry with God. They'll still talk about that. They'll be angry with God. I don't understand it, and still they're drawn to him, and the word is what's drawing, and it's what's coming out of them. But that doesn't just start. You know, that doesn't just start when the thing hits you. So, I would just ask this. We have a few minutes. I don't have my whiteboard up here, but I don't want this to be, you know, this could go on forever, but just a few people, like if you've got a, I want to say that the challenge that we're hearing here, heard it in the Briscoes, we heard it with what John said, so clearly what John said, what's going on here? You know, where is your goodness? We understand his sovereignty, but where's his goodness? So by faith, we do believe he's good. And so my question to y'all is, can you give me a verse or two that immediately is your go-to, whether it be familiar verse, unfamiliar? What are verses that are your go-to when that hits you? What in the world is going on, God? Have you forgotten me? Kelly.
So immediately when you're talking about Psalm 42, you know, Martin Lloyd Jones wrote up the principal theories, and it's in a book called Spiritual Depression.
Yeah.
Excellent book. Terrible title. But anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but it's ending in Psalm 42, and he says that what we have to do is we have to handle ourselves. It's the same thing as your mom was saying, I preach it to myself, right? And the verse he uses is Psalm 42:5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. And so that's how we handle ourselves. And you have to constantly be preaching the word to yourself.
Right. That's fantastic. Yes, Jim Holler.
I want to pick up on what you said. You were talking about in faith. What verse you do
better? Right.
So you got 30 minutes of sunlight left here on the lake, trying to catch a bath.
Hallelujah.
Okay. you hope you're gonna catch it.
Right.
So what you do, you get inside the boxes, and you get the Lord that you know, that you have confidence in. Why do you have confidence? Because you do it. You come back with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go so trust you. Okay, so that's what you do. And then you said, so this doesn't start this spiritual big drawing on the doesn't start when you get it. So when we're memorizing, we're meditating, we're taking it in, and it doesn't matter where it is, because it could be off the chair-taking list or off the non-chair-taking list. We have the dog.
Yeah.
And you know, you exercise that muscle and you're gaining confidence in that. And so then, when you get, you pull out old trust.
Old trust, yeah, I love it. What was the one that you told us before, Jim?
Well, I had one off chemistry one off knock. I will never leave that. But yeah, the 80s, but nobody's on that line.
Hebrews 12 and discipline.
And your hardship is just, as a son, don't we want to do a good talking?
Couldn't talk. Yeah.
But anyway, that's why.
Yeah.
It's easy. You do it. You work at the time. That's why on Tuesday, or Tuesday, that's fine. That we have a spiritual, a memory encouragement group, accountability. Church, we don't ask people. We can do this with
them. Yeah. Sponsored by this class sponsored by the Jim Holland Memory System, Bill Brazil. Now that's so, I remember so clearly you talking to our class about Jesus. I'm pretty sure you haven't left me, but forsaking and you dealt with it and you had, it's, I think John MacArthur says when you memorize scripture, the Holy Spirit has a vocabulary to use in your life. And that's, you are a clear example of that. Anybody else? Barbara's?
Romans 8:28.
Okay.
Everybody knows that from God. We know the God. Only what he
does. Amen.
Here is a part of the one. And it's in Psalm 145. The Lord of hosts, all who are falling, they are called to the mountain.
All right, Psalm 145:14, for y'all who didn't hear that. And I'm going to shut up. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. I have written next to it, his particular care for the fallen. Wow, that is a great one. I think Wendy, and then I'll go to Ken.
If perhaps God has granted him repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, then it is better to read it than it is for the care of the enemy who is in some way to himself.
All right, that's. Yeah, for your children, 2 Timothy 2:26, did you say?
25b and 26.
Yeah, oh, that's a, yeah. So 2 Timothy 2:25b through 26. So there's people dealing with that specific pain in here for sure. Thank you for that, Ken.
So many of our contending Christianity is based in spiritual text. And you're talking about the vocabulary.
Yeah.
Knowing scripture, looking to your life so that you know how to answer things. And I know it comes to big surprise. My tendency is to drift toward a hymn tune that bubbles up. Like the third verse of How Firm a Foundation. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my strength all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume. And thy goal is to respond.
Yeah, that goes to his goodness in the pain. But it's designed for good. Yeah, very.
My go-to verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks for this will of God and Christ concerning you. My Presbyterian calls down the stairs. Boy, I'm glad that's over.
1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Yeah.
Everything give thanks. Yes, Rhoda?
Romans 11:33, kind of the end of it. Knowledge of God, And for who is known the mind of the Lord, who has been found for his gift to him.
Wow. So Romans 11, that was especially 33 through 36. So an amazing doxology phrase. Wow. Yeah. You know, that's effective. That work, we talked about it 2 weeks ago when we're talking about Psalm 34 and all the promises in Psalm 34, but the first four verses or three before of Psalm 34 is, I'll magnify the Lord. I will extol the Lord. It's all these things we do. And then he's our refuge and he's our, fortress, all the things he promises, but the praise, it flows out of our praise. So Rhoda, what you're saying, this whole idea, it's just a practical thing. You can't be both complaining and praising at the same time. Okay. I can complain and do most anything else. It's a gift, but you can't pray. So I love that. I love that focus on God. What else? Russell? And then Rhonda? Yeah.
Lamentations 3:22-24 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says Russell, therefore I will hope in God.
Yeah. There's reasons that those are classic because they're so comforting and solid and wow, thank you. Rhonda?
Bethel 3:17-19. Though the fig tree did not blossom, nor fruit be on vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the field will no fruit. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like a deer's, and he makes me cry about my life.
Wow. Habakkuk 3:17-19. That's such a, it ties in so perfectly with not looking for necessarily the solution first. It's looking for him. And then he is the solution. Yes, Susan.
Speaking of focusing on God, all the years that I was teaching him at one of the churches, I got there, all the week to be working on every week to be a new prayer on top of it. And I had to take a notebook and I was going to read you God and say, and I would come up with 3 or 8 words about God, the verses that don't even. And so he tried to go through the whole alphabet in the year. And that got there, that is my ghost term.
Oh, that's great.
The hours of the night when I can't go back to sleep, I just praise God because you are awesome. I praise you because you are blessed. I'm just praying for my creator. I can pray for all those things. And take the Bible off me.
That is great. We need to send that to the group if you have it in it. That's a great idea. Yeah, that's, I love that. That's so good. These are great. Yeah. All right. Let me go. Andy, I saw you first and we'll move around. Okay. Andy.
One of the things you're that quote you talked about them when they're young, they embrace desire, but when they get older, they embrace despair. I see one of the best terms I've ever heard David say, he talked about all the great men who did not finish well. One of the things that I've witnessed and it's bad is watching men of God not finish well. And I thought about it a lot. And I think that, one of the things that happens is, that men, it's kind of like when you round third base and you're going to slide into home, they round third base, take 2 steps and start sliding.
Yeah.
They're going to make the home play. Paul writes about, endurance, but I think men will, they'll get older. They'll check out, I've done my duty.
Yeah,
I'm doing
that's
right. And Terry talks about, men will die like they live.
Yeah.
So, slide for home plate. And you got to run the race. You don't slide for home plate. Maybe
real close. Yeah.
And it's not for a lot of people, just being shifting gears. It's not being.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But I do think it's important to stay engaged to the very end.
Yes.
And when you don't stay engaged, you can read scriptures all day long. You're still going to drift without the action.
That is, when we flip back to do the end of 1 Corinthians 15, you'll see this where it says continue to labor, endurance, but continue to work in love. That I think that is a great point there. So, Jane, let me get you, and then I'll go.
I love this. The Lord the God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loudness.
Zephaniah 3:17.
I mean, that's just when I'm going through something. I remember his love.
Right.
Bring it out.
Yeah. It's very personal. Yeah. That's one of the things that makes you stand firm in anything you do in relationships because you love the person and you know they love you. Great. Thank you. Roger, was that you?
One line goes through, but someone calling water is 3.4. This is the day of the Lord and all the joys will be bad. And it kind of what Susan was talking about. There have been many bad days in my life, but in that same just part of the joy that God has made today, there's a reason for it.
Love that. Love that verse. And I think you exhibit that well in the little that I know you. Your rejoicing is encouraging. Mm-hmm. Tom?
A verse that's always meant a lot to me for 10 years is Philippians 3:7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, but I may gain Christ.
Yeah.
We mentioned Romans 8:28 a while ago too. Which is the favorite verse of one of my favorite historical heroes. I lost a very, very close friend a number of years ago. He died on August 28th. I think God sent me a message that he met on sale.
8:28, I get it. Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. We'll never forget that. All right, guys, we can do this all day. This is fantastic. This is, we probably need to make a list of these and hand them out. Just to read them all together. We've heard a lot of them, some we haven't, and to, just to hear them together is encouraging. So I'll wrap it up like this, to go back to mom, because she's my mom and she's awesome. So I get that. But also, if we're talking about standing firm and endurance, still following Christ to where people in the hospital are noticing at 94, that's a pretty good example. As Paul says, follow my example. That's a pretty good example. So I was thinking about her. Just picture at 94 what she's experienced. When we meet mom, she's a joyful person and knows everybody's name and all that. But just think, like she's going through the depression, the Great Depression here. She remembers the Sunday afternoon they heard about Pearl Harbor, and she had two teenage brothers and knew what that would mean. And one indeed was injured, a debilitating injury for life from, he was in Patton's Army in World War II. Those are the dramatic things, but just going on through life, going to school, going to work, married, there were a lot of pressures in her life that I won't go into, very personal, hard things. I mean, I was easy to live with, clearly, but my siblings were really different. But other, there have just been things that she's been, had pains for all these, lost my dad relatively early. Lost two of her three siblings, her parents. And yet she's still able to talk about the word of God in these difficult moments at age 94. So what I remembered was that when my dad died, it was at the funeral and somebody came up and said, your mom seems to be doing okay. This is a neighbor. Said she walks around the neighborhood and she's just got these cards. I don't know what she's doing, but she's going through these cards. Well, they're the scripture. Like she, this didn't start at 94. She's headed into a surgery. This started because she had a habit of building the word into her life. And so, was that easy for her? She's just that particular person that, well, I mean, it's just easy for her. No, I heard John Piper recently say, somebody said to him, well, it just must be easy for you to study the Bible. He said, everything I do is a fight. It was good to hear. Everything, it's a fight for everybody. It's not easy for any of us. So, but the result is if we can build in the word of God incrementally into our lives, make it a priority, we will be courageous, be strong, stand firm, and live our lives in love. So thank y'all for participation, and let's close in prayer. God, we are thankful that you do sing over us with love. You love us. And we pray that we would experience it, that we would hear it from your word, that you would continue to draw us. That's the only way this happens, and that we listen. And we thank you for our time this morning, for you being here and bringing us to each other and to you. In Christ's name, amen.